Okay, we are now going to move to our regular agenda. Carla, would you please read Council Item 127?
127, increased contract with Walker Macy LLC for design services for the South Waterfront Greenway Central District Phase 2 Improvements Project.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, President Fish. I have good news, more good news. Last week, we announced that we are building two new parks, we being the Bureau of Portland Parks and Recreation. The economy is recovering, and we have more systems development charges or fees paid by developers as they do new construction that go to essential services to expand capacity. And last week, we announced that we're going to be building Beach and Gateway Plaza parks in East Portland. Today, we are announcing that we are moving ahead to build Phase 2 of the South Waterfront Greenway Central District project. This will complete the Central District Greenway after 9 years of planning and 3 years of construction. And I must pause to commend my colleague, Commissioner Fish, for his stewardship of Portland Parks and Recreation over the last four years prior to 2013. System development charges came trickling in over the course of the recession, and Commissioner Fish could have chosen to use them for small projects, which are desperately needed. We have over $400 million worth of projects that we need to do, which, for which we have very little money, the system development charges being some of that money. And Commissioner Fish, instead of using them for the small projects, chose to save the money so that we could do the big projects, because as with little funding, it tends to be that the small enhancements get done and the big ones don't. So thank you for passing on a legacy of this fund. I cannot at all take credit for having created this fund. However, I'm very glad that we're going to be using it in this manner. I was on the Planning Commission at the time that the South Greenway was first envisioned with the North McAdam Urban Renewal District. So I'm very pleased to be on the council and announcing this improvement. And as everyone may recall, the South Waterfront Greenway will connect downtown Portland with the South Portland neighborhoods and the Selwood Bridge and Point South. We don't have ownership over all of it just yet, but this will complete the part that we do have ownership or guidance over. The project before us today is the Central District. It's the first of three segments within the South Waterfront Greenway that will make these crucial connections. The Central District also provides recreation opportunities and restored fish habitat along a stretch of the Willamette with much degraded greatly degraded riverbanks. Also, the construction contract features a high disadvantaged business utilization of 18%. Construction is set to start in April and conclude in November of this year, so we'll be done this year with this project. To make this happen, there is a package of five ordinances for your consideration. Four contract amendments, and we'll explain why they're contract amendments rather than rebidding, and an update to the operations and maintenance request. And I'm going to ask that we remove the emergency ordinance on what clause on section on item 130, which is the operations and maintenance requests.
Without objection. And Commissioner, since you just said that, would it make sense for Carla to read all five items?
Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't do that. Yes, please,
go ahead. They're before the council. So, Carla, would you please read 128, 129, 130, and 131?
Mm-hmm. 128, increased contract with Hart Krauser, Inc. for additional geotechnical services provided for the South Waterfront Greenway Central District Phase 2 Improvements Project. 129, increased contract with McKay Sposito, Inc. for additional construction management services provided for the South Waterfront Greenway Central District Phase 2 Improvements Project. 130, authorized commitment to fund operations and maintenance of the South Waterfront Greenway Central District Improvements. And 131, increased contract with James W. Fowler Company for additional construction services necessary to complete the Phase 2 Upland Park portion of the South Waterfront Greenway Central District project.
All five items are now before the council, and without objection, the emergency clause will be removed from Council Item 130. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. And so here we have Allison Rouse, the project manager, and Kia Selly, the asset manager from Portland Parks and Recreation, to tell us about the project.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for this opportunity to come before you today. My name is Kia Selly. I am the asset manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. I am here today with Allison Rouse, our South Waterfront Greenway project manager, She is going to walk through some project background, and at the end, we're both happy to take any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Allison Rouse, project manager. I'd like to offer you some context today for the ordinances that are before you. This project fits a riverbank habitat reconstruction and an urban park, which includes a path system that's intended to function as transportation infrastructure into a 100-foot wide strip of land sandwiched between the dynamic Willamette River and what will be the densest neighborhood in the state at full build-out. We expect it to be well-loved and very well-used. The image in front of you is a site plan of the full build-out of the Central District project. The blue area at the top is the Willamette. At left, which is north in this image, lies the Zidell Marine Barge Facility. At the bottom center are two of the existing residential towers in the neighborhood. At bottom left are two empty lots that are owned by OHSU. And the empty lot at bottom right will have a new residential building under construction this year.
Allison, is that the project we read about in the past week where the new development
correct.
To the south?
Also known as Block 37 in the neighborhood plans. The name of the developer escapes me, I'm sorry, but they intend to be under construction this fall. The improvements you see illustrated include both the reconstruction of the riverbank and the upland park, but in 2012, Portland Parks and Recreation was forced to phase the construction work because cost estimates at that time exceeded our funding. The riverbank reconstruction became phase one, and the upland park phase two, which is outlined in red on this image. Let me zoom out a little bit and give you a few words about context. This image shows the plan for the entire South Waterfront Greenway. It stretches from the Markham Bridge, which is on the left here, south to John's Landing. Our project site here is in the red box. It's divided into three segments, north, south, and central, each of which will provide some level of riverbank habitat restoration and an upland recreation opportunity. When it's complete, it will also provide a piece of transportation infrastructure, a dual pedestrian and bike path that will connect downtown with the Selwood Bridge. The project before you today is the first segment to be completed. Phase one of the Central District, the riverbank reconstruction, is complete after 2 years of construction. It removed over 32,500 tons of debris and contaminated material, including 60 tons of material that had to go to Arlington and 200 tons of asbestos. In partnership with TriMet, it added 25,000 square feet of shallow water fish habitat and extensive riparian plantings. And also, the entire site is lightly contaminated fill, so there was extensive oversight and collaboration with DEQ. Phase one set the stage for the Upland Park. Phase two will provide the dual trail system, which is roughly the boundary between the two. In this image, it's the wiggly white and gray trails at the top. River overlooks, lawns, trees and plantings, seating options, lighting, and a public art piece. The total cost of phase two, including construction, administration, design, and permits, is estimated at $4.7 million, which will be paid from Parks SDCs. As our commissioner noted already, the contractor expects to begin initial mobilization and site clearing activity shortly, with major construction beginning in early April, and they expect to finish work in November. Now for some nuts and bolts. Four of the ordinances before you today will authorize contract amendments necessary to add phase two back to the project. One is for J.W. Fowler, our contractor, and three are for consultants working on the project team. Our landscape architect, who's been on the project since 2007 and before that on a separate contract since 2002, our geotechnical engineer, and our construction manager. We investigated rebidding the J.W. Fowler contract, but because they're already mobilized on the site, they have an extensive knowledge of our network of permits, of which there are local, state, and federal permits. working relationships with the permit inspectors and with the project team. And they can roll right into phase two without a delay. We felt that it was best to, it would frankly maximize the efficiency of getting this project done, and we would get the best price. Fewer change orders, they understand the complexity, the DEQ permits, et cetera. The construction contract amendment in the ordinance is for the phase two price of $3.3 million plus a construction contingency of $500,000 for a total addition of $3.8 million. The construction contingency will only be tapped if absolutely necessary. The three consulting contracts amendments together total $334,220 and contain contingencies totaling roughly $41,000. The last item I'd like to present is agenda item number 130, which is an update to the expected cost of operations and maintenance of this new asset. As you will recall from past new projects, our operations and maintenance professionals assess the overall level of service the new park is expected to require. In this particular park, we expect a very intense level of use. We work through then every element of that park design and what a responsible maintenance regimen will look like for that piece, producing a scope of work. We then break that scope into the hours of labor and equipment plus other expenses that are needed, add it all up, and then inform council when the park construction contract is authorized. In this case, PP&R brought an O&M funding package request to you in May of 2012. Which was $17,230 in one-time funds and an estimate of $402,470 annually for the full build-out of the site, which was approved by ordinance. But that request was prepared before construction began, before we received our permits, and so the Bureau, knowing that we had an incomplete understanding of the site and of the permit conditions, alerted council in that ordinance that we may need to come back and update you again. And here we are. The updated O&M request is $26,730 one time and $488,831 annually. The one-time figure is $9,500 bigger, and the annual figure is $86,361 bigger than the preliminary numbers that we brought you in May of 2012.
I just ask you a question on that.
Sure.
The figures that the council has already approved, those have been built into our 5-year forecast already. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Commissioner, the budget office told us no. So the budget office has told us that the entire $488,000 and ongoing would actually be an addition to the money that's sort of assumed in terms of general fund for parks.
Just going back to past practice, by council rule, we are required to build O&M in, and we cannot open, and I believe Dan Saltzman was the author of the legislation, we cannot open a new park or facility without the O&M being built into the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So just to be clear, the council has already approved one package of O&M, and what you're asking us today is to increase it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's already been approved, and then the question is, has it been salted into the 5-year forecast? Commissioner Novick has been told no by the budget office, but that's something I'll want to follow up with between now and next week, because it seems to me as soon as we know what the number is and we have a target date for the opening, I'm not sure why that isn't built into the 5-year forecast, but we'll get an answer from the budget office. Thank you.
Certainly. I just want to highlight the three things that changed to produce the increase in the number. We received our state and federal permits in late June after we had been to see you in May, and they came with technical post-construction monitoring requirements for the fish habitat up to 7 years after completion, but for the DEQ remedy, the cap that we placed all over the site, in perpetuity. The permits also require guarantees of a level of maintenance that is beyond what PP&R would normally commit to. So that was the first major change. We also learned a lot about the site during phase one construction, principally that the soil is very soft and it drains very fast. This places an added burden on establishing all the plant material and then into perpetuity, because the soil is going to drain the water really fast. They're going to need to be on it in maintaining the quality of the soil for the life of the park. Last, in order to limit the construction costs, PPNR agreed to take on responsibility for establishment maintenance of the new construction for the first 2 years after the completion of the project. That responsibility originally lay with the contractor, but in negotiations with them over their price, we agreed to take that on. So all these three items added scope to the work of the operations and maintenance team. In light of the intense degree of use that we expect that the Central District will receive, combined with its proximity to the dynamic, changing, moving, active Willamette River there, coupled with the degree of ongoing federal and state scrutiny of the site, we ask that you approve sufficient funding to protect the city's investment and to keep this new asset in good working order. Thank you very much.
I have a question or two.
Sure.
So on the point you just concluded about the city agreeing to take on the two-year establishment
mm-hmm.
responsibility,
mm-hmm.
so does that mean if I'm assuming this applies to the vegetation and landscaping, does that mean if they do not take hold in 2 years, whose responsibility is it after that two-year interval?
The answer to that lies in whether the failure to take hold was a part of, a flaw in the installation of the plant material, in which case that would go back to the contractor, or whether there is some problem with the way it was maintained, in which case parks would be responsible for that.
Okay, and then on the whole notion here of doing the construction contract for phase two as a contract amendment to the phase one construction
mm-hmm.
contract. So the phase one contract is about the same amount of money, if I'm reading right in the notes here. It was about a $4 million job. And then we're doing through contract amendment, in essence, another $4 million job.
That
always kind of raises flags
mm-hmm.
in people's minds, you
sure.
know, as you, I think you alluded in your remarks, you know, as
sure.
somebody getting an inside track, and we're
mm-hmm.
not going back to the marketplace to test the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably, I think you've given us some good reasons, but nevertheless, I guess my question, does purchasing get involved in that sort of analysis about whether you do this as a contract amendment versus whether you do it as a new bid?
They did. We had quite a bit of consultation and advice with the procurement office as well as the city attorney's office about this. the phase one contract value is actually quite a bit larger than it originally was due to the difficulties we had during phase one construction with extra debris and a higher degree of contamination of the soil, as well as the impact of those soft soils on the design of the project. So that the value of the phase one, or the value of the contract at the end of phase one, was a little over $7 million. Not that that makes a difference to your point, but I just want you to know that the expertise and the working relationships and the proximity of this contractor after completing all of that is invaluable. And we concluded with the concurrence of the Office of Procurements that if we were to rebid the project, not only would we lose a bunch of time, but we would unlikely to be able to get a better price than we got from this contractor, nor better quality of installation than we got from this contractor. So
it added up. That analysis exists and is documented somewhere, should somebody prove it to us.
If someone wants me to prove that, we'll have to play it out through the numbers, of course. But the analysis is
Well, I mean, there's numbers and there's rationales. You make a rationale, well, they're already on site.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's. I just want to make sure that, you know, we're properly insulated from
sure.
an accusation from maybe a contractor that would say, why didn't we get a chance to bid on this? And I think we all know that happens all the time. So I'm just trying to make sure we've gone through a process with,
mm-hmm.
with procurement and city attorney's office, and we can document that if we needed to.
Commissioner, I think you're making a really good point, and we'll be sure to document it in the files so that all of our conversations and kind of the chronology of those conversations and those recommendations from our procurement officer are well documented, kind of in perpetuity in that file. I think that's a very good recommendation. I would also add that in our conversations with procurement, we talked a lot about the fact that this Fowler was brought into this project under a construction manager general contractor contract. So we have always anticipated doing both phases of the project with this contractor. So the amount of the contracts, yes, they're significant, and we had anticipated pausing after phase one because of a lack of funding. But when we actually wrote the original RFP and did the original contract work with Fowler, we had anticipated both phases of the project.
I think that's a very important clarification on the record. So thank you, Commissioner. Other questions before we take testimony?
I can wait.
So have you concluded your presentation on all the items?
I have. Thank you.
So what we'll do is we'll take some testimony, and then we'll bring you back if there's any questions raised through the testimony, and then we'll take votes on everything other than 1:30. Carla, have we got people who signed up to testify?
We didn't have a sign-up sheet, but I know Mr. Nunn wishes to testify.
And if anybody else wants to testify, please come on up.
Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Robert Nunn. I live in the South Waterfront in one of the towers which is adjacent to this project, and I am here to urge you to go forward with this project. I was not involved with the South Waterfront visioning 10 or 15 years ago when the city, in an act of remarkable imagination and foresight, thought that it could convert a brownfield into a vibrant neighborhood and could extend the Greenway South in a way that would connect its citizens and its visitors with the river in a very special way. The recession upset those plans, did not derail them, but certainly delayed them. This project, to me, represents an opportunity for the city and for the neighborhood to be able to move from saying, imagine what this neighborhood will look like, to instead being able to say, look at what this neighborhood will look like. We will have 5 blocks of the Greenway completed. We will have 2 blocks fully developed because the condominiums are already there. And we will be able to explain to people, this is the vision for this neighborhood. This is what it's going to look like. This is something what the Greenway is going to look like going north to the Markham Bridge. I think it will energize the extension of the Greenway, and it will certainly allow everyone to understand how special this neighborhood can and will be. Thank you.
Mr. Nunn, thank you for coming today, and we should also acknowledge that Candace Brewer Nunn is here, the former and distinguished chair of Home Forward, who under her leadership shepherded, among other things, the new Columbia to fruition, and we're grateful for her service as well.
Thank you.
If anyone else would like to testify, come on up. We just need your name, and the subject is the Greenway.
Yes, sir. Good morning. My name is Stephen Entwistle. I live downtown Portland. I was a little concerned. I was just wondering about the entertainment district, if there's any plans of maybe even considering putting an entertainment district on the South Waterfront. I think that would be very sustainable compared to what the unsustainable entertainment district is now. Okay, we have people that are living, residents in Home Forward public housing, okay, that are being basically terrorized every night, okay, 7 days a week, okay, with noise, okay, and the police are not trained for noise noise control, okay. In fact, they hate doing it, okay. So, and there's a lot of problems with that right now with the police officers, okay, and noise, okay, and there's nobody doing anything about this, okay, and that's a problem because people are suffering, okay, and people are suffering in public housing. But I would consider it would be nice that if you guys would maybe consider having a real entertainment district that is not going to be a public health hazard for the people living in public housing right now. I know it's real embarrassing for you guys because you guys are really on to that, you know, having the bars and making money and all that revenue that's going to come out of that bars. But don't do it on the backs of the people that are living in the residents in those areas. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Council colleagues, do you have any further questions you'd like addressed by staff before we take this to a vote?
I don't know. So, if we have somebody that wanted to testify.
Oh, we have someone else? Go ahead, sir. Yeah, go ahead. And then, Steve, will you have questions for staff?
Not really questions for staff, sort of questions for us.
Okay, so we'll take that up after the last testimony.
All right.
Welcome, sir.
Welcome. Good morning. My name is Len Michon. I'm with the board of the South Portland Neighborhood Association. We are very committed to moving this project forward, not only for the people within the South Neighborhood, within the South Waterfront, but also for Lair Hill, who now have access over the pedestrian bridge. We also are seeing later this year a number of students and faculty from OHSU moving down to the South Waterfront. This is a short walk from their facilities. We think that it's very important to open up at least this portion of the waterfront to as many people as possible as soon as possible. In addition, there are a tremendous number of people that are already working at CHH, where we have staff from OHSU, doctors, technicians, et cetera, and a number of people coming in for services there. So there are a huge number of people currently there, and there are certainly going to be a huge number of additional people coming, especially once the bridge is opened up as well. So we have a number of issues, a number of additional people coming, and I think the showcase is very important to have that portion of the Central Greenway completed.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Yeah, did you say you're with the South Portland Neighborhood Association?
I'm sorry?
You're with South Portland?
Yes.
Well, thank you for being here. And this project is being done with Central City Systems Development Charges. I will be having an announcement about other projects that we'll be doing in the rest of Southwest Portland. So look out for that. But I appreciate you coming down today to support this one.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. So that concludes testimony. Kia, if you come forward just in case we need you to weigh in. And now we'll do council discussion. Commissioner Nova.
So I don't know why it would have been that the original estimate for the O&M wasn't built into the CAL target, but that is what budget is telling us. And given that approving the O&M, and obviously we shouldn't approve anything until we're ready to approve the O&M, would cost $488,000 a year. And given that we've been told that our new ongoing money for this next year is $5.9 million, that means we'd, in effect, be taking 8% of our ongoing new money and putting it into this project. And it just seems to me that that's a pretty significant step, and I'd rather have us consider that as part of our overall discussion of the budget this year rather than as a one-off.
So, Steve, I haven't, Commissioner Novick, I haven't been part of this discussion, but I will tell you that the council has previously committed to building the Greenway. We are now keeping faith with that, and we previously authorized the O&M, as we are required to do by council ordinance. We cannot open a new park or facility without the O&M built in. So the question before us is the additional increment, not the base amount, because the base amount council has already approved.
Well, I'm just telling you what the budget office told us, which was that the earlier estimate was not formally approved and wasn't built into the Bureau's CAL target.
But the ordinance that Commissioner Fish refers to is that the council has a policy that we have operations and maintenance built into new projects. So if you're asking us to revisit that policy, that's a much larger policy question, which would we couldn't do this.
I'm not asking to revisit that policy. What I'm telling you is the budget office is telling us that this is a this would basically be committing $488,000 forever of new general fund that they don't have built into their projections. So that means that it would be reducing our $5.9 million in new ongoing money by $488,000.
So, Steve, let me make a suggestion on this. So we have a contract process that is that needs action in order to continue the work. And these are items, four of the five items before us. Commissioner Fritz has, and I have ruled that we're removing the emergency clause from 130. So we will not be taking action today on the question of O&M. My suggestion is that we go ahead with the contract modifications so the work can continue. And then when we come back next week, we can take this up, and the mayor will be back, I think, to preside. And if this, if your point is that you want to see this folded into a broader discussion, I think we should have that on the table for discussion. I don't think it should hold up the contract modifications because the work needs to move forward.
But does it make sense to have the work move forward if we haven't made a decision about whether we're going to pay for the O&M?
Well, the council has made a decision about paying for the base O&M, and I think you're raising an interesting point, and I will be very interested to hear your arguments. But the council has a policy that requires once we authorize this greenway, we as a council were on the hook for the O&M. The only question is what's the amount of the O&M, not whether the O&M would be built into the forecast.
But according to the budget office, and again, this doesn't make any sense to me given what you're saying about the policy, but according to the budget office, the original estimate for the O&M wasn't built into the CAL target.
Yeah, can you tell us more about how the operations are managed? Do we have anybody from the budget office here? So, Kia, could you tell us more about when operations and maintenance is put into the budget? Or we have Director Abate who can help us out here, too. Thank you. Portland Parks and Recreation Director Mike Abate.
Thank you, Commissioner. I don't want to speak for the budget office, but as Kia mentioned, the project originally was envisioned as one project. When we came back to you for authorization to proceed with phase one, at that time, we did the estimate for what phase one and phase two would be. My understanding is because we weren't sure if we were going to be able to move ahead with phase two, the one that's before you today, that may be the reason why the budget office didn't plug that into the CAL target at that time, because we weren't sure if the funding would be available to move ahead with phase two. They did add $55,000 of maintenance for, I believe, for the phase one work into the CAL target at that time.
And am I misremembering? It seemed to me that in past years when Commissioner Fish has been advocating for the operations and maintenance, the ruling has been that Parks eats it the first year and then it goes into the CAL for the next year. Is that correct or not correct?
I think that is...
That's how the budget office has.
That's how it's happened. That isn't necessarily our desire. Our expectation was is as soon as we're maintaining something like we are maintaining phase one as we speak, that be funded. But in the recent past, that has happened. There's been a delay. Yes.
So, Mike, let me ask you a question. If Commissioner Novick objects because he needs additional information, then we cannot pass these as emergencies today. If we remove the emergencies and put them all to a second reading next week, does that cause any hardship on your construction schedule?
Mm-hmm. I think.
Would you let us know what that is?
The phase two work has a lot of long lead time items that need to be resolved between now and the beginning of April, which is the inception of heavy construction. Such as ordering the steel for the overlooks, ordering the steel for the some of the benches there, and also the light fixtures in particular take a long time. I would hate to ask them to get to work on those long lead time items until they were under contract. It very much does affect the eventual inception of construction in April. The price that they negotiated with us depends on us starting in early April. So it actually is time critical that we start as quickly as possible.
I would also add, too, that this will take a lot of staff from Fowler to pull this project off in a very short period of time. So we're going to have this project completed by late fall, So in order to do that work, we want to make sure that we secure that staff capacity with Fowler. If there's uncertainty about these contracts, and it delays the ordering of some of the key materials, but also if it delays kind of their ability to secure that staff and reserve it for this project, that could put the project in peril. We could be looking at some delay.
So we have the city budget office staff have arrived.
Ian has a question of the staff.
Well, let me just pose a question, and then we can hear from the budget staff. And, you know, I'm appreciating the point Commissioner Novick's raising here and sort of the confusion over what, if anything, the council did previously approve about operations and maintenance. I mean, I do believe we had a policy that when we accept these jobs, we do commit operation and maintenance. But this looks like a phase two that is new and fairly sizable, $448,000 a year or whatever. But I guess I'm just thinking out loud, if the just from a strict dollars and cents point of view, if this project actually will not be online until, we'll say, the end of 2014, mm-hmm. seems to me the initial operational commitment could be at least half of what we're talking about here. So
that, I was just about to make that point, or okay. to ask anyway, the city budget office.
So let me
keep that in mind.
Thank you, Dan. Let me hold, and if I believe Andrew Scott from the budget office is here. He must be watching Channel 30. Andrew, thank you for joining us, and we have a couple of issues we need your help on, including have you heard the discussion?
A little bit. I didn't hear what Director Abate said as I came over. If you would build the sky bridge, it would be quicker.
So there's a couple of issues we'd appreciate your clarification on. One is about the city policy with respect to sure. O&M. Two is, what, if anything, did the council previously do when it adopted the ordinance, and why is that not in the five-year forecast? And number three, if we were to act on the request that's before us next week, when would that hit the budget?
Okay. In general, and I think the way you've described the policy, at least the little bits that I heard, are accurate. When council approves a project, they should also at the same time be given an estimate of the O&M by the Bureau and should approve that going forward. There has been, as you know, as the Parks Commissioner, a lot of sort of conversations between us and Parks Bureau mainly, although there are other bureaus that this impacts as well, about the best way to do this, whether it should be done, as part of the budget process, whether it should be done as part of an ordinance. I think we're in agreement. I think the policy, is that it should be done as part of the ordinance. When council says move forward with a project, council should also determine how to pay for that. Now, in terms of what was approved last year, so that's the overall policy issue. There is a technical issue that we actually, CalTarget increases have to be approved and have to be specifically approved by council for us to make them, to us to change anything beyond just normal inflation or other changes along those lines. Specific increases have to be approved by council. That's generally in a budget process, although it can occur in an ordinance. What happened last year is that the ordinance that came forward requested that increase for phase one. And so we built that into those phase one costs. I think it was $55,000 roughly, those costs into the forecast. It did not, and council didn't authorize the increase for the remainder. There was an estimate in that ordinance of what that remaining amount would be. But again, it wasn't authorized as a CalTarget increase, which is why this ordinance has come back to make that explicitly clear so that we can, in fact, increase that amount.
Given what you know about this project, when would the O&M hit the budget?
So it will, I understand it's coming online in 14-15.
November this year.
Okay. And so it would be an ongoing target increase probably in 15-16.
It doesn't go in this year's budget.
Except it would take ongoing resources out of this year's budget and convert them to one time.
Right.
So the $430,000 roughly, again, would come from the ongoing to the one-time side of the ledger. There are some costs, since it's a partial year, we would need to figure that. My parks analyst isn't here, so I don't know the exact amount. So it would hit in 14-15. The ongoing amount would hit in 15-16.
So you said something interesting earlier, that under our policy now, and as it's been worked out with your office, the practice of the council is if you support a new capital project, a new park, a greenway, the O&M automatically follows. We can have a discussion about, you have in the past come back and said you thought the number was a little high, we've scrubbed it, but we are in effect committing to the O&M.
Well, actually, can I clarify on that, because I want to be clear. That's actually why we need the language that council directs us to increase the Cal target, because there are different ways to pay for the O&M. And again, without getting into the merits of the different ways, because obviously there are lots of pros and cons, council, when a new project comes online and has operations maintenance costs, can add new money to the Bureau's budget, right? That is the from a Bureau's perspective, you know, it's a new cost. The other ways to pay for the O&M, which are less popular from a Bureau's perspective, are to take O&M from other places within the Bureau. So to say, well, I've got operations and maintenance over here that I'm going to cut in order to fund this new operations and maintenance, or to find efficiencies within their overall operations and maintenance and absorb those reductions. Again, I'm not getting into the merits of whether that's even possible here, but that's why council needs to be very clear, because just identifying $300,000 or $400,000 of costs is not identifying how those costs are going to be paid for, because there are other alternatives besides adding money to the budget.
So just to be clear,
Because
O&M follows the project, if a member of the council did not want to incur the O&M, they could technically just vote no on the project, because as a way of also getting at the question of the O&M. But a second bite at the apple is to support the project, but then to take the position that it should come from within the Bureau's budget, not be additional resources. Is that correct?
Right. Correct.
What we have,
some combination,
or some combination, and what we have before us in item number 130 is to authorize a commitment to fund this. Is it specific as to new money versus out of the Bureau, or is?
Yes, this is specifically new money for the Bureau.
New money.
Yeah,
we work with Parks developing this language in particular.
So let me just take it one step further. If a member of this body, when this comes back next week, wants to argue that it should come not from new resources, but should be some combination of the Bureau and new resources, that's an appropriate question for us to debate as part of this. Is this correct?
Yeah, and I think the language in there specifically says the final estimate of the O&M, you know, may change as new information becomes available. That's actually, it's important because it gets at your second point of not only does it come from new resources, but also are there, you know, is the O&M estimate of, I think it's $480,000 total, you know, are there ways that cost can be reduced? Well, that can be a conversation that can occur over the course of the next few weeks or even a couple months to sort of get to that final, you know, resolution of what
the actual
amount could
be. We have precedent for that. I remember Mike, if I'm correct, it was the O&M that was proposed for the new community gardens that went online.
Right.
And Parks came up with a figure. Your office, Andrew, scrubbed that figure and thought it should be a little lower, and we came in with a lower figure that the council adopted. So that's an example of that process. Questions from my colleagues?
I'm worried about, I think that it's unfortunate that this issue wasn't dealt with and that the ongoing O&M wasn't built into the Cal target before. It seems to me that if you have a rule that maintenance follows the project, then we should sort of adjust the procedures so that we approve the budget for maintenance when the project is approved. But I'm concerned about approving the additional work without having figured out how we're going to deal with maintenance.
Steve, Commissioner Novick, the one concern that I have, having been involved in this project for a while, is that there are so many, the deck is so stacked against the Bureau on this project, partly because of things like nature, water tables, a slew of alphabet agencies that come in and tell us what we have to do differently all the time, all of the complications that literally, if we don't do the, you know, in-water work in a certain time, if we don't do it in certain phases, it ends up actually costing a lot more. And I personally think you've raised an important question of policy. I would be loath to hold the project hostage to resolving that, because I'm satisfied from what I've heard from budget that the council can still decide how much and how it's allocated, which goes to your point, without breaking faith with the commitment we made to complete this project, which would be the net effect of voting the other items down. And I'm concerned about the timeline, because the timeline on these things is extremely sensitive, and I know from personal experience, it ends up being a cost driver if we don't stay on schedule.
How much, and this, I guess, is a question for staff, how much would it mess with the timeline if we just tabled this until next week and thought about it some, and then, you know, if we're satisfied that we know we're going to work this out, pass these items with emergency clauses next week? Is a week critical?
Yeah, Commissioner, just to your point, On the contract side, it's really critical. We have been in negotiation for a couple of months with our contractor to get at a price, and that price is very much related to the schedule that we have proposed. That's why, for example, we took on the 2 years of establishment maintenance, which we don't normally do, but we are trying to get the project done in the most efficient, cost-efficient way possible. So, yes, if we delay a week on the contract side, I think we run the risk of them coming back and saying, well, we're going to need slightly more money, or the staff are not going to be available.
What about if we delay a week on the operation and maintenance?
We are going to do that.
That's
we've already removed the emergency on that, so that,
bring
that
it
is
back
going
next
to
week.
A second reading.
And what would happen if we approved on the contract items and the next week decided we can't afford the operation and maintenance, we need to pull the plug on the whole thing? Would we have incurred, you know, legal liabilities by having a week during
tell
which
what would happen, Commissioner Novick, I would be meeting with Mayor Hales and asking him to assign you parks.
Well, Steve, as a political matter, if it what I will tell you is there are the votes on council to move this. The question is whether it's new money or some combination. Now, we can have that discussion, but Mayor Hales has already signed up on this. Commissioner Fritz has. I brought it. Dan is the author of the policy. We can have that discussion, but for purposes of today, we cannot pass the emergency provisions over your objection. So if you assert your objection, and it is your right to do so, you need to just say that. And then if you say that, then we have either the choice of taking the emergency off or tabling it for 1 week. And you control that, and you have the privilege of controlling that at this body.
I mean, my concern is, I mean, there's lots of commitments the council has made that we haven't funded. For example, we made a commitment to build a West Side Emergency Operations Center, and I don't have any assurance that any portion of that is going to get funded in this budget cycle. So I have no questions about the project. I have no questions about the policy. I mean, I understand that it's frustrating for those of you who approved this project to be told now that the money wasn't included in the budget. But I just want it understood that basically we're deciding that we're committing 8% of the $5.9 million in ongoing funds that we've been told we have to this. And that reduces the amount of money that all of us have available for all of the requests that we've made for this next budget. And my understanding is, Andrew, is it correct that collectively we've requested something like three times as much money as is on the table?
Yeah, I have an email I was about to send when I started listening in, so you'll get it later on this morning. There's about 26 million in total requests. That includes one-time and ongoing requests. Those are just general fund requests. They don't include some of the other issues.
How much?
26 million.
By the way, I didn't get the memo. Are we on casual Friday today?
I apologize, Commissioner.
This is what happens when you get your own office and you're in a different building.
I had nothing on the agenda. The other thing I would point out, and I we can continue to talk. I mean, there's always an issue of when we include something in the forecast and when the estimates are solid enough to do that and when the plan is solid enough to do that. This is probably not helpful, Commissioner Novick, but I would say that had it been included a year ago, we would end up in the same place as we would be as if you included it now. So, I mean, those resources, and I understand psychologically it's harder to see them and then have them taken away, but they never would have been there had this council, had we included the Cal target language a year ago. So the net result where we end up is the same. It just it feels a little bit different in terms of how we get there in terms of the information you have. So
this has been a great discussion. And again, under our rules, if we don't have the votes for an emergency, then we can't act. So it is your privilege to assert it. The only thing I would say is that I think you've done an outstanding job framing the concern and the issue. And if it does have a detrimental impact on the contracting process but is otherwise likely to pass, I would hope you would balance that against the point you've made, because we are going to have the debate about how to fund it next week, and you've been very clear about how you would like us to approach that.
Okay, but I understand that, and I don't mean to be a jerk about this, but I mean, I do want each of us to think about, would we be willing to reduce our request for other money in the next budget by, it's collectively a total of $488,000. And I can't, so they, basically that means each of us has to come up with 122,000, well, no, I guess there's five of us, 90,000 apiece.
So I haven't, so I don't believe I have any pending general fund requests. I've gone from having two general fund bureaus that competed to two utilities, which are out of the game. But, Steve, I think you've made an outstanding point. I just would urge you to consider the end game, because if the net effect is to make the contracting process harder for the bureau, and we still get back to the point that an OMM is going to be authorized by council, either out of their resources or new resources, I'm not sure we've moved the ball, but it is your privilege to assert that objection.
Commissioner Fritz, I mean, do you think you'd be able to find money for ongoing O&M in the rest of your budget?
No. We have no money that we give back every year. We spend it down. When you look at the ending fund balance, I have $450 million worth of deferred maintenance and $1 million to spend on it. This is absolutely the right policy that Commissioner Saltzman put forward before I was on the council. For all of our bureaus, we should be allocating operations and maintenance when we bring new facilities online, and we don't. So to suggest that we need to back off because there's other new stuff that we might want to do, this is the right policy, and we've been working on this project for 12 years to try to get this greenway, which will stimulate more development in the South Waterfront, bringing in more tax money. I looked into whether we should look out for a new contract and whether we could delay. I hate emergency clauses just for this reason, except when I'm the one that's wanting to vote no on it, when in which case I love emergency clauses. But we took a little extra time to negotiate the contract because we were concerned about the amount of the bid. And so we worked on that, and now it's down to the wire of can we get this project done this construction season. And so as Commissioner Fish said, it's really up to you to decide how you want to go on this.
Commissioner Saltzman, I know that, I mean, one concern you might have about the budget is that we've got $2.5 million worth of funding for firefighters from the feds for 2 years. So I would imagine from your perspective, we should assume that after those 2 years, we have to pick up that $2.5 million with the general fund. Is that a reasonable assumption?
Yes, $2.6 million, actually.
$2.6 million. So, I mean, would you be willing to lay off a few firefighters in the future in order to help pay for this O&M?
Well, that's not something I want to, not a direction I want to go, but I guess what I think would be, to me it's a fair question about should this full $488,000 be approved at this time, and should it be approved simply as an addition to the Parks Bureau's current appropriation level versus saying, you know, come back with another approach that maybe 50% of it is new appropriation level, 50% of it is found internally. And I realize those are tough questions, but I think, you know, that's what we're here for, is to ask ourselves tough questions all the time. So I think, you know, I guess my preference would be to go ahead, approve the construction contracts. Let's have that discussion next week about, you know, are there alternatives to the 480 in terms of when it's needed, when it really needs to be booked, and then how much can be split between new appropriation versus internal. I mean, that's how I would see this playing out.
Let me ask one more question. I mean, the options we have are not doing this, raising some new money, or finding money elsewhere. I suggested the other day that we should revisit certain decisions we made in last year's budget, specifically funding the mounted patrol, which cost us $860,000. I mean, that's one suggestion, which is costing us $860,000 this year. And I said that I think that should be put up against other needs. And, of course, I'm now getting lots of emails from the passionate supporters of the mounted patrol. So I would like to know if my colleagues are willing to join me in asking to revisit that question in order to free up additional money for the projects, including this one.
Yes, absolutely, on my part.
Yes. So, Steve, it's still in your call.
Fish, what's your answer to that question?
I'm going to be looking at every line item on the budget for ways of putting my values into this budget, and without any limitations, but that's not the issue before us today.
Well, having heard
public testimony on this.
No, we're not taking testimony.
Changing what's going on.
No, we're having council discussion, and please do not interrupt, Joe.
I did not interrupt, sir. You interrupted me.
Okay, I very much appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's and Commissioner Fritz's response to my last question, and given that, I'm prepared to withdraw my objection, hoping that we'll have a vigorous discussion during this next week about the O&M.
Thank you.
So we now have five items to move to a vote on. We'll proceed to a vote. Carla, would you please read them in sequence, starting with 127? Roll call, excuse me.
Fritz?
Thanks to Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Novick for this vigorous discussion, and to Michael Batze for his leadership of Portland Parks, and Allison Rouse and Kia Selly, the leaders on this project. Thank you to the neighbors who came in and to those who have advocated for this for decades. And it needs to happen. I appreciate that it can happen in the timeline that we're moving for. I'm very concerned about my announcement last week that we were going to build two parks in East Portland. There's absolutely no way I can absorb the operations and maintenance for those parks into the parks budget. So maybe we need to have a discussion about the budget at a different time and indeed the policy. But I think it's the right policy. We should not be building new stuff without adding the money required to pay for it. We will be scrubbing those numbers and having a discussion with all the council offices between this week and next for the operations and maintenance. But let's just look back to this project. It's a great project, and there are many staff and parks and community members who have contributed and longed for this moment, not expecting the discussion we just had. So we've started planning this greenway back in 2003, and it's been a very complicated project. It actually brings to mind not only the other major funding issues that Commissioner Novick has raised, firefighters, the Emergency Management Center, the Superfund. I mean, look at how much money this project has cost, and look at how many 200 tons of asbestos taken out of this bank. Who would have thought that there would be that much asbestos in the banks of the Willamette? So, and that's not even in the focus area of the Superfund. So there are many, many funding challenges. When we have one-time money through construction fees, we put it back into the community by doing the work, by putting probably hundreds of people to work on this particular project with the investment of these development fees. And that's a good thing. One of the things that got us through the recession was South Waterfront, where everything else was stopped in terms of residential and high-rise commercial development. South Waterfront kept going because this council had authorized the investments of public money, taxpayers' money, in the tax increment financing district to keep those projects going. So it all works together. It can't be just looking at one piece or another piece, and I appreciate the discussion. We entered these projects knowing that there would be uncertainties, and boy, did we ever find what kind of challenges there were in them. But this is good news. In this ordinance, we begin the last phase of the project over which we have control. There's another phase after that, and we will be working on that too. But by the end of this year, with this vote today, we will have transformed what was once a degraded riverbank riddled with contaminants into a beautiful place where people can whiz through on their bikes in a separated path, stroll through, look at the viewpoints, look out from their windows of the condos in South Waterfront and the offices and the commercial development. This is fulfilling a promise, and it's important for government to keep our promises. I appreciate all of the work that's been done on this, and especially Patty Howard in my office, who's been absolutely stellar as always. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I think Commissioner Fritz said it very well. This is an important milestone in the development of the South Waterfront, but in particular the beginnings of the completion, ultimately, of the Greenway Trail from Selwood to downtown. I know there's still a lot of work ahead of us to get that all done, but let's get this central section done now and get it up and running, and let's get more people excited about seeing those extensions added north and south to ultimately bring the dream alive. I think it's been a great discussion, though, about the maintenance costs and how we deal with that. It's been a good reminder to all of us, and I think we do have to, you know, continue to ask tough questions about where the maintenance money will come for this particular segment's completion, phase two. And good discussion. Please vote aye.
Novick?
So I want to make it clear to the supporters of this project and to Parks that the questions I was raising are not based on any concern about the value of this project, not at all. And I also recognize that Parks has, what is it, $450 million in unfunded maintenance and $400 million in new projects that are unfunded. And I mean, I'd remind people of that whenever I get an opportunity, hoping to get the numbers right. I just think that, I mean, it's really unfortunate, I think, that the money for maintenance wasn't actually built in.